الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. My dear respected brothers and sisters, inshallah we'll go through a quick review, a very simple session today. It's important that we come regularly in these halaqas, and even if we know these masail, it's an opportunity to refresh these things and know them. So last time, before Ramadan, we did two sessions related to fasting. One was about the virtues of fasting, and one was about the masail. That before that was istinja. That's where we are actually up to. We finished the chapter of istinja related to what you can do to clean yourself after leaving from the bathroom. So we understood that the word istinja means to take salvation from filth. Najasat se najat pana. Istinja, talabul najat anin najasa. And Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given instructions related to this, and that's the beauty of our deen, that all of these things are mentioned. It is not left to the person decide, do whatever you want, it relates to the bathroom, but follow the sunnahs even in relieving yourself. So some of the things we understood: when a person goes to the bathroom, taking off the rings, these are things we have to put into practice. Many times they are left out, and then the ulama ikram have mentioned that because this action, it has etiquettes, using printed paper, bricks, bones, glass, coal, all of this which is not really made for cleaning oneself, it's not allowed to use during the istinja. But the whole idea is to take so much caution and ihtiyat that a person can be free from drops of urine. Rasulullah has said, istanzihu anil bowl fa inna akthara adab al qabri minhu. Save yourselves. Apne aap ko pishab ki qatron se bachao, kyunki aksar logon ko jo azab qabr hoga, aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam farmaya ke wo is wajah se hoga. So it's something that we don't give importance to. But when we are in the rush, you notice that many times drops go here and there. So it is important to take time out to do the istinja correctly. Istibra is another term used in istinja, where a person takes extra time. We're done with everything, but you take extra time. You breathe in and out. You stand up and sit down. If you have to shake a little, you should shake that, so that later on your clothing and during your salat, these type of wasawis and whisperings do not haunt the mind. That maybe something came out, maybe I'm not clean. And this type of disease is developed for many, many people. They come with these complaints that, I always feel that my wudu broke. I always feel that something came out, and then when I check, nothing's there. So if we are regular in taking time out during the istinja, doing it correctly, then automatically these type of whisperings of shaitan, they finish. So every sunnah of Rasulullah, it protects from attacks of shaitan. Every sunnah. That's why in the bathroom, outside bathroom, masjid, you find there's rulings, so that this person can take guard in understanding how to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and save himself from the effects of shaitan. So today's session is about water, because istinja finishes with the action that, okay, what do we use to connect, to clean ourselves? What is the best way of cleaning a person once he's finished from the bathroom usage? And we know that other parts of the earth are allowed as well. The mud is allowed. But we'll discuss that when the point of tayammum comes up. Just the water issue. So the first point to discuss today is about what type of waters can be used to fulfill purity and to attain the purity. So one is the rainwater. All the original sources where water is gathered from, all of those are pure. And that's why I put together those images. They're all, these are things we already know, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that water is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because it's free, people sometimes they take it for granted. But you have to keep in mind that in areas of the world where there is not enough water, people fight over this. They get in line for this. For hours and hours they have to wait to know that which time in the morning does the water open up, which time does it open up in the evening. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah is the one who has revealed or who has brought down the water from the heavens for you. Tumhare liye kiya sab kuch, right? We have to understand. Minhu sharabun, for drinking. there's energy. All the doctors you talk to, any problem, they always say that increase the water intake, right? It's with every disease. So that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put life in water. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have made everything from water. And the human being is life. And every other living thing, you'll find that it surrounds water. Without that, it won't exist. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is a drink for you. It is a point of bringing your animals for their food. That is going to bring all of these things into existence. So now people gather water through rain. You see that this is how it's done. And then through the well, there's spring water. There's from the snow. There's from hail. These are all points where these are original sources. They're coming directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So is tarah ka pani jo hota hai bilkul paak hota hai, isme koi shak nahi hota. Like if I have gathered a pot of rainwater, I don't have to think twice where it's coming from. It's directly coming from the heavens. So that is nothing but pure. So scholars have divided the types of water. What type of water can be used? In America, what happens is we open the tap, there's water there. But in many parts of the world, there are places where people have to find out where this water is coming from. Was it contaminated? Or so that's why these masails are talked about, to understand that if that water has the ability to purify or not. So categorizing it in terms of fiqh, you see number two, it says that how is water categorized in terms of fiqh? Number one is that water which is pure itself and it can purify other things as well. All of these 7 points that you'll see, the 7 types of water, rainwater, seawater, river, well, water melted from snow, from hail and spring water, all of these are pure and they have the ability to purify. That means if a person takes his water and it comes onto his clothing, it's fine. He doesn't have to worry about it. And he can use this water to become pure, to do ibadat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Arabic, it's known as tahir wa mutahir, water which is pure itself. And it has ability to transfer purification onto something which is impure. Ek cheez na paak hai, paani ke andar wo istidad hai ke wo khud bhi paak hai aur dusri cheez ko bhi paak kar sakta hai. So tahir wa mutahir. Tahir means paak, to be pure. Mutahir means the ability to purify another thing. Dusri cheez ko paak karna. To pehli kisam ka paani wo hota hai, ye sare jo abhi bataye gaye hain, ye sare is tarah ke hain ke khud bhi paak hai aur dusri cheez ko bhi paak kar sakte hain. They can purify other things as well. So besides these 7 types of water, the water which has been used by somebody, a male, a human being, has drank water and he's left it in a place, so that water is still considered to be pure. And ulama ikram have also said that in the remaining water of a believer, there is shifa. Ke musalman ke jhoote mein shifa hai. So this is taken out of a context of another hadith. These are not the exact words of Rasulullah, but the understanding is still there. So we have to understand, in America, sometimes there's water left over from a brother or somebody. That doesn't mean that it's dirty. It has to be thrown out. If we're thirsty, we can drink another person's water. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's no obstacles in Sharia that you have to throw it away, or it's najis, or it's filthy. So in terms of that, for using for wudu as well, using for taharat as well, that water is still considered to be pure. Somebody drank from it, no problem, it's still pure. Also, those animals that we can eat, like chicken, goat, cow, if these type of animals, they put their mouth inside of a container that has water in it, that water still stays pure and it's a purifier. That means paak bhi hai, and it can it's tahir wa mutahir. That's what we find in category. That's the highest, the best type of water, that it's pure and it gives the quality of purification to other things. Then number two is pure water and it's a purifier, but it's disliked to use. What happens if we have left a pot of water somewhere and we have a cat in the house? So cat puts its mouth into that pot. Now there are two scenarios that are possible here. Either the cat just ate something which is disgusting, or this could be very gross. It just had a rat and then it puts its mouth into that container or that pot. Or we don't know where it was. So in the first case, then the whole water will become impure. That's not in this category. We're talking about makruh right now. So the cat did drink from it, but we don't know if the cat ate something or it had some dirt on its mouth and it went in the water or not. Because of that doubt, this water becomes disliked to use. It's pure, but it should not be used for taking purification. یعنی یہ خود تو پاک ہے لیکن اس کو استعمال کرنا جو ہے اس کو منع کیا گیا. مکروہ تنزیہ, when we say مکروہ تنزیہ it means it's still disliked, but if somebody has used it then the wudu will still be valid. So if somebody has used water in which he has doubt that a cat has put his mouth in it and he made wudu out of it, he doesn't have to repeat his wudu, it's still okay. But if it's, there's a choice, then it should not be taken as the first choice. Then we have pure water and not a purifier, which is not, it cannot purify other things. And the example you'll find in there, the first one is used water. If somebody makes wudu and their water falls off of their limbs and it's gathered, now that water is called ma'i musta'mil. It's called ma'i musta'mil in Arabic. It means istemal shuda pani, water which has been used. So once the water has been used, if somebody has used it for their wudu, for their ghusl, that same water cannot be used again for someone to do their wudu with. Okay? So if somebody is in a state where there's so little water, and people say, okay, let's use it in a way that let's gather the water, use it again and again, it cannot be done. Only once you can take wudu from that water. Now those incidents where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that the ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to look for those opportunities to take and grab water from the limbs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was something very beautiful. It showed their love. And many of the kings were impressed that how are these followers, they don't even let the water of his limbs fall down onto the ground. So the scholars have said that water was not used water. Why? Because used water is once it leaves the limb. Let's say I wash this part and the water starts falling off the limb. Now once it falls off, now it becomes used. But if it's still on the hand and somebody were to take it, it's still not used completely. That's how the case was of Rasulullah ﷺ, that people would fight to get it right off of his hand. Right? It's done and they would take it, forget about it leaving the part. So scholars have said that once the water it departs from those areas that have been washed, that's when it becomes used water. And if somebody else says that this shaykh is so pious and we should also gather his water, so scholars have said that that was the speciality of Rasulullah ﷺ. Nobody can say that my peer and my shaykh is so great that I drink or I take the water of his wudu. Now it cannot, the analogy cannot be put onto Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the speciality of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. So in these cases, if there is water used by someone, it cannot be used even by the person himself. If I say that I'm washing this part, I'm gathering the water and then washing this part, so this part will be considered still impure. That means I did not do my wudu completely. Okay, so iska matlab hota hai ma'i mustamil. The water which has been used, it cannot be used again. So in it itself, it's pure. But it doesn't have quality of giving purification. So if we are washing ourselves in wudu and used water gets on our clothes, we don't have to worry about the fact that my clothes are now dirty. We don't have to worry. It's still pure. But can somebody take purification from it? No. So that's the third category, that water itself is pure, but it doesn't have the quality of purifying anyone or anything. Then there's another example given here, is that water extracted from fruits and trees. You open up many fruits, there's always that liquid, so much of it. If somebody were to ask the question that, you know, can we do wudu with it? So no, that water cannot be used for wudu because it, in its origin, it's not water. It's actually an extract of fruit and trees. And others have also said that the water has three qualities that a person has to look into to determine if it's still water. And those three qualities are the smell, and then there's the color and the taste. These are the three qualities of the water. So that is, comes up a lot in this chapter of discussion, that okay, if I need to know how this water is or how much has it been affected, so there are these three ways. If it has a really bad smell, the color has completely changed, or you know, the taste has become so bitter, that means something bad has made its way in that water and it should not be used for purification. If we take any juices, any drinks, what happens? One of these qualities have been changed. They put water in energy drink, water in sodas, everything, but because of the fact that these qualities change, then it's no longer under the category of water that can give purification. So even drinks or any other things that are liquids, they will not be allowed for using they are pure themselves. So it falls on my shirt, I don't have to worry about cleaning it for salat. But if I need to use it for wudu, I cannot use it for wudu. Any water which has been removed from its nature, its ability to flow, and its thickness due to cooking or overcoming mixture. Now, in the water, there are two types of things that can be mixed up. There can be something that's solid. Ek sakht cheez gir sakti pani mein, ya khud ek patli si cheez bhi gir sakti. It can be liquidized or it can be solid, right? So in both cases, there's a different scenario to understand this. If it's something solid and it's like a rock, it fell in one place, in that one area of the water, this does not mean that the whole water is becoming impure now. ये चीज समझने की होती है कि पानी को किस तरह पाक देखेंगे. कोई सख्त चीज गिर जाए तो जिस हिस्से में वो गिरी वो देखेंगे कि कितना असर उसका पानी पर हुआ है. दूसरे हिस्से पे उसको उस पानी को नजस नहीं कहा जाएगा. सिमिलरली इफ दैट वाटर इज इफ देयर इज अ लिक्विड दैट फॉल्स इनटू द वाटर देन दोस थ्री क्वालिटीज हैव टू बी लुक्ड आफ्टर. डिड इट चेंज द कलर? डिड इट चेंज द टेस्ट? डिड इट चेंज द स्मेल? यस, इफ इट डिड देन हाउ मच डिड इट डू? So if majority of the water has been dominated with something else, then no longer can it be used for purifying. As far as impurity is concerned, that even if a little bit of impurity falls into water, the whole water is known to be najis. That will be the next point, but let me finish this one, that the water itself is pure. So let's say that there is a bowl of water and somebody puts milk into it. Now the milk, it's pure, and it's put into something which is pure, water. So both things are pure, but can it bring purification? That's where the question lies. So if it's so much milk where it changes the color of the water, it's changing the smell, so now it's becoming dominant. And now it can no longer, it's still pure, but it can no longer give purification. That's why it's simple. If we keep that method in mind, at any point we can understand that these things, if they're pure or not. In many scenarios, it depends on the person involved, that how much has he investigated, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the correct understanding. All of these rulings of fiqh, they are not taken from one hadith, but they are taken from numerous different incidents of Rasulullah ﷺ, where sahaba ikram would make judgments off of these rulings in their mind. So fuqaha ikram, what they do is that they make it into a form of ruling that look at these things, look at that, look at the size of the area, look at how big, how deep the water is, and that's how we determine if it's pure, if it's pure itself, or if it can give purification as well. As far as number four is impure water. Now, if there is a little bit of water in one place, and then urine drops go into it, or stool goes into it. So now in that whole water is considered to be najis. It cannot, it's, if it falls on somebody's clothing, they have to clean the clothing. They cannot pray with those clothing. Okay. And it can, of course, if it's not pure, it cannot be used for purification purposes as well. Now, in some cases where the water is completely flowing, you have this, the sea water, the ocean water is flowing all the time. Or there's river water that it starts from one side and it's continuously going into different cities, different areas. That water doesn't stop. It's constantly moving. So this is where that exception comes, that if the water is constantly flowing, that means it's getting purified by itself. So at that point, we have to look at the water and say that even if there was najasat that fell in this area, over time that najasat has dissolved because of the changing of water. It's constantly flowing. If somebody sees that this part of the water, if there is najasat still there, the water is flowing but najasat is still there, so that means at this moment you cannot use that water because the najasat is in front of you. You have seen the effects and that area of the water cannot be used. But to give it time, a few hours later you'll see that flowing water, it finishes off all the najasat. Even if a fish dies, you know, anything bad that happened in the water, dirty, it throws it out. Right, you'll find the fish out, somebody's body is to be found, they drown, the body will come out of the water and be thrown out. So flowing water constantly purifies itself. And you know, scholars have also talked about the water in the well at this point. So you would see in some places the water does come, yes, the water does come up all the way to the top. But in other areas, you have to throw a bowl, a bucket down, and then pull it out. And that's, it's not an easy task. So in areas like this, if something falls into the well, a dog or a person falls in and dies, so the whole water that's in there becomes najas. It becomes filthy. And first, that dog or that person has to be removed. It cannot be said that the person or whatever died in it is still there and you're just removing water. It has to be pehle wo insaan ko ya jo bhi gandi cheez usme gir gayi hai wo pehle nikali jayegi. And then it would be seen that what size, right? What size of object or thing has fallen inside there. So if it's a size of a human being or a dog or a sheep, big things. So once that thing is taken out, the whole water has to be taken out. And then new water comes in slowly, slowly, slowly. That new water will then become pure. Then if there are sizes, so you will see that the scholars have went into the very small details of this, that there are sizes of animals as well. So they said if there is a cat or if there is a chicken or something of that size, then 30 to 40 buckets have to be taken out after the cat is removed. 30, 40 buckets have to be taken out. Then the well water is known to be pure. Now, we might think that why do I need to know this? But we are in that point of fiqh that it's being taught that even for water, that the sources, there's way of cleaning it, and it makes us pure from inside, because everything that Muslims do to purify themselves, from A to Z, it's taken care of. It's not that the water coming from the sources is dirty, and then we find it in the taps and we just use it. But till the back, in areas where there is no tap water, in those areas as well, people are instructed how to find out clean water till the very last basic thing. So others have said that if it's a bird, if it's something smaller, a rat, so then 20 to 30 buckets have to be taken out. Anything that falls and dies inside a well and the body then disintegrates, it blows up, right? So if that happens, then the whole water has to be taken out. Then there is no amount of buckets. Pura ka pura pani ko nikalna padta hai, to phir wo pani paak hoga. So these are just small things to understand about water. Another thing too we can understand is that flowing water is on one side, but in some areas, in some masajid, you'll see that there's a big pool of water, and people sit on different corners and they make wudu. Now, in this big pool of water, on one side, let's say there's najas that falls in. So how will we determine? Will we say the whole pool is dirty, or is there a way to determine? And there is. That scholars have made measurements, and they have said that if there is 21 feet by 21 feet, that means the outline of that pool. And the depth doesn't have to be too much. The depth should be at least that when a person puts his hand in and takes the water out, his hand should not touch the bottom of the pool. It should be more than that. So, itni chaurai mein, if there is a pool, then it's known as a large pool. Ye bade, bade size ka ho gaya. Now, if something is large, then if on one side najasat falls, then the other side is still pure because it's so big. And scholars have said, how do we determine this? You can put a wave into the water, shake the water on one side, and you'll notice that those effects of that wave will not get up to the other end. See? So that's how they know that, okay, only that area has been affected by najasa. The other side is not going to be affected. So in large pools of water, only that area on one side will be affected, and then the najasa has to be removed. Then let's say if one of the qualities of the water in that large pool changes, the whole color changes, or the smell is so bad, or the taste is so bad. So now in this case, we have to determine that the whole water is become najas. That's how we can tell. In any place where there is water found and is standing in one place, then these qualities have to be looked into, that if the water colors, smell and taste are still intact, or have they been changed by something else. Doubtful water. In fiqh, it has been taught that the water which has been drank by a donkey or a mule, that water is doubtful. It doesn't have the ruling of being haram or completely halal, because donkeys, they can be clean and they can be unclean at many times. It's very difficult to determine. So in these type of cases, if somebody knows that there was a donkey in that water or it drank from it, so it's better not to use that water to begin with. Now, scholars have said that if somebody has only that water where a donkey has put his mouth into it, then what should he do? Should he do tayammum? So scholars have said he should do wudu and tayammum, because this is a doubtful type of water. So wudu is going to be done and tayammum will also be done. So to remove that doubt, it's better not to use it. But if there's no other water, then both things wudu and tayammum will be done. Now, the last point is about Zamzam. Because this is a very simple chapter, inshallah, I'm going through very quickly with it. It's about Zamzam. Now, we know Zamzam is one of the most sacred sha'air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are symbols of Islam. This is the Zamzam gets its honor because of a religious perspective. So, to use it for dirty things, of course, is going to be bad. So, if somebody were to ask, can I use Zamzam for a stain? You'll notice in the Haramain, they don't have that connection of Zamzam in the bathrooms. They only have it upstairs so that people can drink, put it on their head, or wherever it's ill, they can use it. So the only point of using Zamzam is for its blessings, for tabarruk, to take barakat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if somebody uses it for istinja, it's considered highly disrespectful. And it's considered that you are disobeying or you're showing disrespect to something which is a great honorable ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have the option of using other water, but you're using Zamzam for it. And other scholars have said that it attracts diseases. If people do istinja with Zamzam, they said that a person can develop hemorrhoids in their private parts, and that's also something which is bawasir, jise kehte hain Urdu mein. So that's a big disease, and it's a very painful. But scholars have said that this has been seen in experience, that people who have disrespected Zamzam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause diseases to come into their lives. So this is the, inshallah, what we have to discuss today. It's not much, but it was mostly about water. That's why I didn't put too much detail up there. You will see that if you have any questions, like now seawater, it has so much salt in it, but despite that, it stays pure and it can purify other things. But then the water gets like this at times with all this trash in it. Now you can see with your eyes, and a lot of these rulings are based on our aqal and our logic. You can see that so much is there. Now, even though it might be flowing from other areas, but this side is not flowing. So now we have to determine the fact that this is najas and it will not give purification for anyone that is trying to do wudu or ghusl. Yes, brothers, inshallah. Is there anything that people would like to know about this chapter, inshallah? Yes.